are listening to the Gormenberg Girls Podcast. We're just two girls making memories and eating our way through life together. Welcome to our table. Hi, I'm Star.
And I'm Jen.
And we are the Gormenberg Girls.
Hey, Star.
Hey, Jen.
How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I am also doing well. And we took a week off.
We did.
We don't usually do that.
No,
we don't. It was our first break since we started.
It was.
In December.
Yes.
And people actually noticed.
They did. I was like, wow, people listen. Yeah, when people were saying, did I miss something? What happened to the podcast this week? I was like, ooh.
Yes.
So how about that?
Analytics indicate that people listen, but it's hard to believe.
Yeah, right. Thank you. If you're listening, thank you.
Thank you so much. But yeah, so we took a week off because it's summer and our schedules are different than they normally are.
They are. It took a little bit of readjusting with kids being out of school and just different schedules, and my work schedule because school is out has completely changed, and your home life with the kids being home has completely changed. So it's a good transition, but a transition nonetheless, getting back into a summer schedule. So
yes. So if there's another week that you don't hear from us, don't panic. We'll be back. It's just summer.
Yeah.
We're not planning on it, but you never know.
No. But we like, I mean, it's great. The messages were great. So thank you for reaching out, making sure we were okay.
We are
alive.
We're
fine. We're still eating. Everything's good.
As always.
Too funny. Anyway.
So right after school ended, I took a trip.
You did. You did. I mean, literally right after school ended, last day of school, later that evening, you and your husband and the twins hopped on a plane and headed to California. Tell us why you went to California. Yeah.
So it was my in-laws' 50th wedding anniversary. And 50th, that's huge.
It is.
It's a huge milestone.
Yeah.
And they did not know that we were coming.
Yeah, they didn't.
So we wanted to make sure we kept everything super secretive. Mm-hmm. We told our kids. And that was hard enough because they talked to their cousins on FaceTime a lot. My husband's one of five kids, and three of his siblings live in California, and they all have kids.
Mm-hmm.
And so my little ones were craving cousin time, and it was very difficult for them to keep quiet. But they did.
I think
we successfully did it.
That was great. They did better than I did. I mean, I didn't divulge it to your in-laws, but I almost did.
Yeah, well, we had to re-record a segment of
the
podcast.
We did, but whatever. That's just besides the point.
So funny. But yeah, we surprised them, and they were planning a trip to the beach. So they're in Sacramento, and they were going to, where in the world did we go?
Santa Cruz?
Santa Cruz. Thank you. Yeah. We went to Santa Cruz, which is in the Bay Area. So like near San Francisco area, all of that stuff. So
yeah.
Well, actually about 2 hours from San Francisco, but, you know, beach, coastal,
yeah,
California, very beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And they were planning a trip there for their anniversary. And so I did tell my sister-in-law, Renee.
Right.
She's
Somebody had to know.
Somebody had to know because she was making all the hotel arrangements mm-hmm. for everybody because the whole family was going to be there to celebrate. And we had said that we couldn't make it. And then we ended up showing up. But we did like a little scavenger hunt thing because I really wanted to visit the Napa Valley
mm-hmm.
because it's one of my favorite places in California. And so we sent them an anniversary card ahead of time and asked them to come and have lunch in the Napa Valley, and that we had prepaid for things and we were going to send them on a scavenger hunt. And lies, all
lies. Yeah, right. Well, I mean, that's just it wasn't, I mean, I guess people say a partial truth is a lie, but it was all true. That was all true. They just didn't know that you were going to be sitting at the table when they walked through the door.
Yes. So when they arrived at the restaurant, we were there.
Yeah.
But because I love to eat so much, before we even went to Napa, we went to Half Moon Bay. So we flew into San Francisco and we were there late at night. So we spent the night and airport hotel, Embassy Suites. And then we drove to Half Moon Bay for breakfast at the Ritz-Carlton Hotel the first morning that we were there, the day that we were planning to meet them. And oh my goodness, I don't know. Half Moon Bay, I don't know if anybody listening has ever been there. It is so beautiful and so relaxing. And the beaches are like these huge rocks, and it's not really a swimming type beach area. Yeah. A lot of golf courses, people golfing along there. It's like what you see in the movies or on TV or whatever. It's just gorgeous. And so they built a Ritz-Carlton hotel there since I've moved back, because I used to live in California and I've always wanted to try it. So we drove up there for breakfast and I had a crab Benedict that was out of this world.
It looked amazing.
Yeah.
And the view from the window, you had a table right by the window and it was beautiful.
So beautiful. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, it was gorgeous. It really was. So we had a beautiful breakfast there with the kids, and that was nice. Kind of the four of us having a little vacation time just by ourselves for just a small amount of time, and then meeting everybody in the Napa Valley, where we went to one of my very favorite places called Bistro Gianti in Yountville. And it is so lovely, and they are known for their soup, their cream of tomato soup, and it has this beautiful puff pastry over top of it. You crack right into that and it is even better than I remember. Of course, there are lots of fond memories there. So we talk about that a lot. Sometimes we go somewhere and say, it's the best I ever had.
Yeah, right.
But it's the time that you're having there and the people that you're with.
Yeah,
and
all the experience that you're having.
Yeah, it contributes.
Yeah, absolutely.
To everything. So it didn't disappoint. The beef stew, absolutely amazing. I
highly recommend it. That that you feel like they do some really great things with beef too. Of all the different things that you've eaten there, you really enjoy their beef dishes as well.
Yeah. And I mean, you hear beef stew and you think, oh, that's boring.
It didn't look anything like.
Yeah. No, like you think of what you might make on a Sunday afternoon, you know, when the cold weather hits or something, but it is not your average beef stew.
Yeah.
It is so delicious. And the sauce is very rich and thick. And the mashed potatoes are amazing. And I could go on and on.
The best you ever had.
Best I ever.
So to our listeners, you can go back and take a look. We did post some of the items from the meal. You know, for those of you who have been listening or you follow us on Instagram and you know when we go out to eat, we order a lot of food, multiple dishes. No, we don't eat every single solitary thing that you see on our plate. Sometimes our husbands are with us. Sometimes we bring some friends with us, whatever. But we did try to highlight what your favorite things were from that particular meal. And when you were talking about that tomato soup, too, I went to kind of look online and see there's so much conversation about it.
Oh, well, they're known for it. They're famous for it.
Yeah, and people, and there are recipes that people have and different things that they've put on there, like where they have tried to kind of come up with their own version or modify, or, you know, people that are then saying, like, I did this and it tasted close, but then I changed it to this and it got even closer, you know, so people are trying to replicate that. But yeah, definitely they're, I mean, it was very apparent when you looked up the restaurant, read anything about it, that they are definitely known for that soup. Who would think, like, a cream of tomato soup, you know, of all things? Like, people don't typically think, especially when you're thinking of a French restaurant, a lot of people do think of, like, French onion soup and all of the time that goes into preparations for that with cooking different things down and over, you know, but.
Which they do serve, but this tomato soup is what took them over the top.
Yeah.
I mean, so, so, so good. And the puff pastry, it's just. Well, if anyone saw the picture, I mean, it covers the entire, and it's golden and it's very high up. It's like domed. Mm-hmm. And so you crack into that and see that soup and it's like the angels, they start singing.
Yeah.
The light comes down from heaven.
Yeah.
You forget anyone else is around.
Yeah, right.
You hear
it's
the
just
love,
you and
the
soup.
Love song.
So that's a smaller kind of neighborhood, quaint,
beautiful
establishment, right?
It's
a smaller.
It's tiny and absolutely gorgeous. It reminds you of like a French country kitchen or something. It's really beautiful. Beautiful shutters. You look to the outside. You can sit outside if you want.
Mm-hmm.
We usually sit inside, but it's beautiful and it feels like home to me when I go to the Napa Valley.
Right. Sure. So if anybody's planning a trip to the Napa Valley, you want to give Bistro Gianti a try in Yountville. And that really is, Yountville is like kind of central, right in the heart kind of the Napa Valley, correct?
Okay. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. There's a long stretch and it's kind of like going anywhere else. The names of the towns change as you go through.
Yeah.
And that's one section and it's absolutely beautiful. Like all of it. I mean, what's not beautiful?
It's all beautiful.
I've not been to Europe yet, but they say the Napa Valley in the United States is the closest as far as looking like Europe, those areas with the mountain ranges and the grapevines and all of that. It's so beautiful.
Yeah. All right. So.
So then.
That was, this is just the beginning of the food adventure.
Yeah, right.
So then, next.
Yeah. So here's what's funny. Months ago, I made reservations to try to go to some different places that I wanted to go to. And one of the places that I made a reservation was for a tasting at the Camus Winery, because we fell in love with Camus wine.
The Camus Cab.
From our cruise, we learned all about the Camus, different Camus wines, and Camus Cab was our favorite, the special selection. Very, very good. And so I took my mother-in-law there for a treat. The two of us went and sat in the beautiful garden and had five different wines. I think it was five different wines.
But, yeah, I think so.
But the Camus, I mean, the Cab is still my very favorite.
Yeah.
And it doesn't even have to be the special selection. The regular Cabernet is absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
It is more of an expensive bottle of wine.
Yeah, it's definitely a treat.
Yeah. Yeah. So we don't spend a lot of money on wine. I mean, we buy good wines.
Right. But we're not typically purchasing $80 bottles of wine just to sit down and, you know, on a regular basis and do that. Right. It's a treat whenever we spend that kind of money.
It is. It's like a Christmas thing or, you know, whatever. So, but when you pay for this tasting, it's $50. And you get to sit outside in this beautiful little garden area, and really you're just transported into this place of peace and serenity. It's just absolutely gorgeous. And they serve you the wines and you just get to talk. It's not really a class or anything, but when you go into the wine shop, if you show them your receipt, then you get a $50 credit towards a bottle of wine. And because I had the credit, I bought the Camus Cab for the anniversary dinner, for the celebration dinner. And so that was really, really nice.
And you're going to, is now when you reveal that, you're going to pull that out. You brought that home. We're going to share that right now while we're recording the podcast. Wait, I might have a corkscrew in my purse. Let me grab that.
I think it's
surprise.
It's already turned to sugar in my body.
Let me guess. You've already rid yourself of that. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I wish. I would have loved to have had a case or two or three sent home.
Oh my gosh. Could you imagine?
Yeah, it was great. So we did that. And then we went back to our hotel and had a much needed rest. At least I needed it, because we were jet lagged. And, you know, it's 3 hours earlier in California than it is in Pennsylvania. And so, like, I made reservations for the winery. I also made reservations for dinner months in advance, tried to get into the French Laundry, was placed on the wait list. Something did open up for later in the week, but I wasn't able to go that night. So, unfortunately, I didn't make it to the French Laundry, but I did make it to a sister restaurant that Thomas Keller owns called Bouchon. And it was amazing. Now, even 3 months in advance, 2 months in advance, whatever it was, I still couldn't get a reservation until 9:15 at night.
Yeah.
So I was basically eating after midnight. So I was half asleep at the table.
It brings a whole new meaning to midnight snack.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Could not order any wine. Too late. Too tired.
Yeah.
I just can't hang late at night anymore.
Yeah, well, we're getting a little older.
I know. I can't do it. So I drank a lot of wonderful sparkling water that they offered.
It was divine.
It was amazing. And
how did that complement your meal?
And we had more fantastic food. Excellent, excellent food. And probably my favorite was the nudie that was on the menu. And it was a special for that night. I don't know how often they offer it, but it was filled with ricotta and it had truffles on top. So they had, the server came to the table and his assistant came with him carrying this big, beautiful pink box. Reminded me of like a jewelry box from, you know, with a ballerina in it, except for like giant sized.
Yeah.
It was so pretty. And it, had I known what he was doing at first, I was sort of taken off guard. Plus it was the middle of the night.
Yeah, right. It was very late. By this point in time, it was probably closer to 1 o'clock.
Right. And it's very dark in the restaurant and the whole deal. So anyway, he comes, he opens up this beautiful box and it's full of truffles. And our server takes a truffle and shaves it very generously over the pasta. And it was so delicious. It was soft and creamy. And you bit into one of those and it's just like the ricotta just exploded in your mouth. Mm. Oh, man. It's like art.
Everybody pause. It's like we require a moment of silence just when we all think about this for a moment. Yeah, it looked and sounded amazing.
So good. So good. And really, there aren't any words to describe adequately how good it was. And it was more than just the experience. And I know this because I was dead tired, wasn't even really in the mood to go to dinner by the time we went, which is very unlike me.
Yeah.
But I was just so exhausted from all the traveling and everything that we had been doing.
Yeah.
And it really made my night. But I tasted everything that came to the table, as usual. And everything was delicious, but that stood out by far.
Yeah. So we should say, too, because there was a little bit of disappointment. You know, we had been talking about it leading up to your trip, this whole idea that of going to the French Laundry. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that you were put on the wait list and just kind of waiting in hopes, fingers crossed, that this was going to work out. And anybody who is a foodie, really into food, knows who Thomas Keller and the French Laundry, like what the restaurant is all about. So very highly respected chef, like the best restaurant in the country. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is like a place that if you can snag a reservation, you want it, you know. So, but, you know, going to another Thomas Keller restaurant, you were telling me that your mother-in-law has been to the French Laundry.
Twice.
And that she actually felt that her experience with the food at Bouchon had far exceeded what her expectation was, even from when she was at the French Laundry.
Yes. So, and she's a foodie. She eats everything. She'll eat things that I won't eat. And she's been all through Europe, traveled all over the world, eating all kinds of food. And though she liked the French Laundry, she felt it was more of an experience because you go and it's a tasting menu and you don't know necessarily what they're going to serve you. And if you don't like what's on the tasting menu, you're dropping $300, $400, $500 plus per person.
Right.
This is per person.
Right.
And if you don't like it, you're kind of...
Yeah, you're stuck.
Yeah. I mean, you're just looking, you're drinking your wine and looking at the grapevines and being thankful you're in Napa.
Yeah. And still paying. You
know, and still paying $500
Yeah, because
a person,
there's not, right.
Depending
there's
on what
you know what, like I changed
choose.
My mind. Yeah, I'm not going to do that.
Are a few different experiences that they offer and then you have to like what you get.
Right. So there's not really, you don't have choices. You have choices of how much you want to get in the way of what level, we'll call it, of experience
how many
that you choose, how many
like
courses that
that
you're going to get. Right. But at Bouchon, it's a very complete menu where you have selections that you choose from. So, very different from.
And food for the, I hate to say average person, but if you're somebody who just likes meat and potatoes, you can get a great steak, you can get a great burger. These are things that they offer at Bouchon and they are amazing.
Yeah, kicked up versions,
right,
of course.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so that was an exciting late night.
It was. And I would love to go back at a decent hour and experience it again.
Of course you would.
But the next morning when I was a little more awake, we went to the Bouchon Bakery.
Mm-hmm.
So right next to this adorable restaurant, Bouchon, they have a little bakery and there is a line. They actually share a courtyard. So Bouchon's not open in the morning. The bakery is open in the morning. And, you know, you can sit in the Bouchon courtyard and eat there. And there was a line to get in and I wasn't able to take pictures of the different things or even the names of the food.
While you were in line. Yeah.
Yeah. So because there was just so many people behind me, I didn't want to be rude. People were waiting long periods of time, but it's safe to say we tried almost everything.
Yeah. You
maybe not almost everything, but
quite
many things.
Yeah.
I mean, at least 10 or 15 things. That sounds terrible. There were two of us, my husband and I.
Well, yeah.
I'm not saying it was terrible. I'm saying it sounds terrible.
I know. Oh, no. I know. You don't gotta tell me. I know what you're saying. But you're tasting. Like, you want to taste all the different things. It's not like you got to go back. It's not to say, well, we should come again next week. You know what I mean? And try something else. You're not going to be there. So.
Yeah. Killer macarons.
Yeah.
I mean, killer everything.
So yeah, you good. Had something. I know it was in our story. It was like a Danish of some sort that had
cream cheese
on thick. The top and this like fruity deliciousness in the center that looked amazing. Yeah.
I want to say they may have called it just a regular cheese Danish or something like that. Unfortunately, I didn't get a picture of what the title is, but it was so good and not your average cheese Danish. I mean, you open it up, it's really flaky on the outside and you pull that apart and you see all that berry on the inside with that thick, thick, thick cream cheese.
Yeah.
Piped beautifully on top. Oh man, so good.
Yeah. Yeah. You had a few other things that look great too, like that big chocolate chip cookie and the lemon meringue tart.
Very good.
Yeah. And we know that you're a lemon meringue person.
I am. I really am.
So that was also a very beautiful spot. Like when you were showing pictures from the courtyard and whatnot, just being out there. I mean, I think, you know, you look around, like you said, you see vineyards and you see just like greenery all around. And then all of these little places have such beautiful floral display, you know, everywhere with the flowers and everything is just like so quaint. It makes you feel, you know, for the vast space that it really is, if you think about the size of Napa per se, they make everything look and feel so like individually quaint. You know, you don't feel like you're in this big, vast space. Everything feels like you're in this little
space. It's like being in a Hallmark movie or something.
Yeah.
You know, in the little towns. That's what it reminds me of. And that is located in Rutherford.
Okay.
Which is just a little up from Yountville.
Okay. North. It's north. A little north? Or
I don't know.
It's one. That's getting too complicated. It's either north or south. It's in one direction or the other. It's around.
It's close by.
Yeah. It's whatever.
And we went for a nice walk. And then I wanted to, before we had to take off, because we needed to get to Santa Cruz. So before we had to take off on Sunday, I wanted to go to the Mondavi Winery. Mm-hmm. And we went even before they opened, but you can go through that beautiful archway and it is the most gorgeous. I mean, I've been to a lot of wineries in California and I'm sure that, I mean, there are a lot that rival it. But for me, when you go into Mondavi and you walk through this archway and all of a sudden you see all their vineyard.
Oh yeah.
It is just so pretty and peaceful. And because we went so early, there were very few people there because people were just walking the grounds and there weren't very many people there because the wine wasn't open yet.
Yeah.
But it was just so pretty and I don't know, it reminds me of being young and.
Yeah. You have a lot of memories attached to that as well. It's not just an experience of getting to go and experience Napa, but you have a lot of fond memories just from your time that you lived there and going with friends and family there. So.
Yeah. So that was great. And then we had the. You know, In-N-Out Burger, that's a California, you've got to get it.
Gotta go, that's right.
And West Coast, I should say, not just California.
Right.
But really amazing. In-N-Out Burger and Jack in the Box, which you can get other places too, not even all the way out west, but we don't have it in Pennsylvania. And, you know, you need at least one greasy Jack in the Box taco. You just got to have it. It's obligatory.
Yeah, you got to do it. Whatever. It's like a rite of passage.
Right. So we did that and we went to the beach and we went, I got a great cake for my in-laws for their 50th wedding anniversary.
Yeah.
So I was in charge of the cake. That was my big job. And so, you know me, I went on the hunt for the best bakery I could find right from my comfortable chair in my family room in Pennsylvania. And I found,
what did we ever do without the internet?
I know, right? I found a little place called, well, I wouldn't even say it's so little, it's not, but it's called Gail's Bakery. Mm-hmm. And they've been in existence, I think, about 40 years.
Okay.
The desserts, the magnitude of what they offer is insane. They have everything and everything is so beautiful. So I got a beautiful buttercream frosted cake, looked like a wedding cake, but it was small because there weren't all that many of us. There were under 30 of us. So
but you had a couple, there were a couple tiers.
I made sure
they
put two tiers.
I thought so. Yeah.
Yeah. And it was filled with lemon curd. Which buttercream, which is some of my mother-in-law's favorite.
So, yum.
And mine as well.
Mm-hmm.
And they decorated it beautifully. And
yeah, it looked beautiful.
It did. Yeah. And we had a nice dinner at a local Italian restaurant there. And it was great. Great family time. Great food.
Now that was while you, that was in Santa Cruz while you were at the beach.
Yes.
That you did that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so you had a little bit of a different, being West Coast beach experience is different than East Coast beach experience.
Oh my goodness. There's yeah. No. Yeah. It's freezing. It's shark ridden.
It's a great time.
It's great. Yeah. Although even right now there are sharks everywhere. It's like, the ocean animals are out to get us right now.
Yeah. They're coming after us.
Actually, I heard somebody say, well, we're the ones in their home, which I guess is true.
Right. If yeah. We're swimming, invading their territory.
We're invading their territory. But yeah, they're coming in closer. And
yeah, it's crazy.
It's all over the news recently. But it's always like that out
right.
there.
This
right. is nothing new for California. The waters are just really, really cold. And usually my nieces and nephews, they wear wetsuits when they go in. And they mm-hmm. only go in to a certain point because it's dangerous to go out any further. But this summer, I was worried about it in general because there was a news report on Fox that said there were 15 sharks spotted in Aptos Beach, and we were on Aptos Beach.
Oh, great.
So my husband has a drone.
And there were approximately 15 of you guys as well.
Right.
It's one shark per person.
We were almost all taken out.
Yeah.
But yeah, my husband has a drone, and so he flew it over the ocean to see if he could see anything, but he didn't. But yeah. He did get some beautiful video.
Yeah, I bet. But on the beach, there, I mean, even if you don't go into the water, so on the beach, there's a whole different kind of scene that we don't experience here on the East
yeah.
Coast either.
I felt like Gidget.
Yeah.
Remember Gidget
mm-hmm.
and the little beach parties and the bonfires on the beach?
Right.
You can't do that here. I mean,
no.
I don't know. I grew up going to Ocean City, Maryland and places like that. You couldn't have a bonfire on the beach.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of people here in Pennsylvania go to Ocean City or Rehoboth or Bethany, or they go to like North or South Carolina. They're in like Myrtle Beach or Hilton Head or.
Right.
What's the other one people like to go to? Why can't I think of it?
I know what
yep,
you're saying.
That one. That's the one.
Yep.
Here we go.
Myrtle.
Brain freeze.
Myrtle Beach.
No, I already said Myrtle Beach. It's the other one where there's like, you know, Kitty Hawk and, you know, that one. Come on. Yeah. Somebody shout it out to us. We can't hear you.
We can't hear you.
The Outer Banks. Yep. Knew it would come to me.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I've been there.
But yeah, so we don't do like... People aren't, you don't typically see that in Ocean City for sure. People aren't building bonfires
don't.
On the beach and cooking s'mores oceanside.
Oh, it was so fun.
But that's great. Yeah.
And all my nieces and nephews, and they're all toasting their marshmallows. Mm-hmm. And it was just beautiful. My mother-in-law called me the other day and she said, thank you for coming. It was magical. It was a magical time. And I feel like that too.
Yeah.
The whole experience was magical. The kids playing and my kids are older now, my twins, they're 10. So I don't have to worry about them so much around water, even around fire. They know what's going
right,
to hurt them.
And right.
So even for Paul and I, the experience of traveling is just getting easier.
Sure.
And, you know, it's getting better because it's easier with the kids.
Yeah. And those memories that you make with family like that, it's so great. Your kids are, we've talked about this before, because even the distance, thinking that their cousins live in California and they're here in Pennsylvania, they really do. And, you know, truthfully, thanks to like things like the internet and FaceTime and things like that, they're able to maintain a very close bond relationship that they have, you know, so when they have these times that they get to spend together, I mean, there's like nothing like making these family memories. You know?
Right.
So that was, it was for more than one reason. It was great that you guys
were
able to
go. It was wonderful. I actually have two nephews I hadn't even met yet because they've been born just in the last couple of years.
That's right.
We got to meet them and spend time with them. So it was great.
Yeah.
And I don't want it to be as long next time until we go back. I think it was like 4 years.
Yeah.
It's just hard. You know, life gets in the way. We're definitely going to prioritize it a little better from now on. Hopefully make more frequent trips.
Yeah. It's a jaunt. Now, not that you haven't seen family, because some of your family
has come here
too. So it hasn't been that it's been that many years, because your in-laws were just here last year.
Right. Well, my two oldest nephews, they are the ones because of school and they are Mr. Smarty Pantses. I mean, they were super, super smart. And so they couldn't really leave school when Paulie got married. They couldn't come because they would have been so behind on work with all of their AP classes and all of their fancy things that they do.
Yeah.
So I hadn't seen them for 4 years.
Yeah.
Everybody else I think I had seen at one time or another, but they are so tall.
Yeah, when you think about kids.
6'2 or 6'3.
That's what I was going to say. In 4 years, having boys that are in those kind of upper teen years, graduating high school and just below that, 4 years makes a huge difference because yes. They're like, they're you know, like when you saw them last, they were shorter adults. Than you. Now they're way taller than you.
Yeah, and their voices way, have changed. A whole foot taller than
yeah.
them.
Yeah, well, Jen. Well, that doesn't. Okay. They might even be more than a foot tall. They might than you. Be
just a little vertically challenged yeah. if you've never met me in person.
She's petite. yeah, but so that was great.
It was
and then
fun.
you had the time at the beach. Everybody was together, and then everybody kind of went back home. Still yes. had family time together, even being home because your sister-in-laws don't live so far and your brother-in-law don't live so far from your parents.
Right.
Right.
So, yeah. It was nice.
And your in-laws, right? Their parents. Right. But yeah.
Yeah, it was great. We got to go back to Sacramento then for a couple days at the end of the trip.
Yeah.
Before we finished up in San Francisco, which was another fantastic food day. But we met with friends that we've had forever.
Yeah.
And ate at a beautiful little winery in Lincoln, California,
mm-hmm.
and had a nice meal there and great conversation. And it wasn't long enough.
Yeah.
It wasn't. A few hours is just, and we haven't seen them in 4 years.
Right.
So.
Yeah, but they're, so Kathy and Andre are the kind of people that you go and it's like you
no
never
time,
missed a beat. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
No time has passed.
But while you can jump right in, it still feels like, yeah, like you said. That's tough. I mean,
between.
It feels good on the front end, and then on the back end, it's like that wasn't enough time,
right?
But yeah, and yeah. Then it was how long even previous to that you hadn't seen them because Kathy had come here.
Yeah, she's been here twice. Andre has never made it here, so hopefully that will happen at some point in the future. But it's hard. See? They have four kids, and they have
grandbabies. Yeah.
That's even crazy to say.
Mm-hmm.
When we met, our kids were in kindergarten.
Yeah.
And now they're like grown men.
Right.
With
married
families.
With children. Yeah, yeah. It's crazy. Time flies by so fast. Where does the time go? So you had a great dinner with Kathy and Andre. And mm-hmm. then you did go to San Francisco and you went to another iconic restaurant there in San Fran. Tell us about that.
We did. Well, first... is that the very first thing that we did that day? I'm trying to think.
I don't know.
I mean, we went to Ghirardelli that day.
You did, but that was after you ate, right?
Yes.
After you.
It was.
I'm trying to think if there were any bakeries or anything that you went to that morning. Did you have breakfast somewhere that morning? Or did you go somewhere?
Yeah, probably. We had a lot of food.
We're just going to give a little disclaimer here. Jen refuses to take her pain medication. she has a surgery coming up and she will not take the pain medication. And so she's suffering in pain. And I think it doesn't just squeeze on her shoulder, but it squeezes a little bit on her brain because she just can't. We're just awaiting next week until we can... be over the hump. Get this girl in a sling and call it a day. Put it behind her.
I know. My brain is just not.
Yeah.
I'm here, but I'm not here. And I'm not on the medicine. I'm not taking medicine.
No, I know. Because you refuse. Because every day I'm like, Jen, why don't you just take the medicine? Oh, it's too early in the day. I'd rather wait and take it at night. Did you take it last night? Probably not.
I didn't. I'm a bad patient. Anyway, it was the Tadish Grill.
Yes.
That we went to, which is the oldest restaurant in California.
Yeah.
And it is my mother-in-law's favorite restaurant of all time.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure. And so she always wants to go there and I'm not complaining because
right?
it's so, so good.
Yeah.
Everything is delicious and there's a lot of seafood and we got calamari and all kinds of delicious stuff. We had shrimp bisque that was to die for.
Mm. You're a bisque girl as well.
I'm a bisque girl. What else did I have? I had so many things.
Yeah, there was a lot of stuff. I think the thing that just most to say about that anyway is that while not to downplay what the food that they had there, because the food there is in fact amazing, but it's just more that it's kind of like an iconic place, it being like the oldest restaurant.
Right.
I believe, right, in the state of California.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
California's a big state.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of history that just kind of goes along with something like that, an establishment that has held its own for all of these years, right. You know? So that was a cool kind of place to go. And then, of course, as well, it's like, there you are in San Francisco, and you have to go to Ghirardelli.
Oh, I know. Hot fudge sundae.
Right.
So I am a hot fudge girl. Mm-hmm. I love hot fudge.
Yeah.
Anything with hot fudge on it, just give it to me.
Mm-hmm.
I might lick it off a shoe. I mean, I'm saying.
Wow.
Hot fudge is my fave.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I had a hot fudge sundae because that is the best. And my mother-in-law got a caramel sundae. It's layered and delicious.
I mean, you can't go wrong
kids
with ice
hot
cream.
Chocolate.
Mm. Yeah.
I mean, it's Ghirardelli. It's so good.
Yeah. That wasn't the only thing you had that was hot fudge-ish, because when you were back at Bouchon for dessert, you had their pâte à choux that had ice cream in it,
in
correct?
The center. And they bring house-made hot fudge to the table.
Yeah.
And then they pour it all over the dessert.
All over.
All over it. So good.
Yeah. Yeah. Yum.
There are no words.
Yeah.
For the food there. And I didn't talk about the French onion soup from there, which my husband could not get enough of.
Right. Mm-hmm. You did. Yeah. We had talked about that because we fell in love with the French onion soup here in Pittsburgh at Poulet Bleu.
Yes.
It's amazing. And the process that they go through with that is incredible. But to really do a good French onion soup, the process is crazy anyway. But yeah, it looked divine.
It was.
Yeah.
I tasted it, what he would allow me to have.
Yeah. Just a little taste. That's mine. Order your own.
Yeah, it was great. Everything was great. The whole trip was great. Everywhere we went, everything we did, everywhere we ate.
Yeah. Yeah.
No complaints.
Right. So yeah, I mean, I think just a trip like that, you know, for a lot of people when they're traveling, you experience a lot of different things as you're trying new things or even places where you have been before and you revisit. But when you're doing it with family, you know,
it makes everything better.
Yeah. Yeah.
And walking out of Bouchon at night and walking past the bakery, their windows are open and all of the bakers are in there baking bread for the next morning. And it just gives you that feeling.
Yeah.
It's like, this is life. It's happiness and joy. And
the smell of fresh baked bread at bedtime.
So good.
Yum.
And then I don't know. I'm weird. And especially being on vacation, I'm kind of a sap about things. But I think like about the hands preparing that bread and the time and the work that goes into it and how it goes on someone's table and what's their conversation like and what's their day like and how is that bread bringing that family together? I don't know. That's how I think of food.
Yeah. I think that, I mean, we've kind of talked about stuff like that before because that's kind of how we feel when we're preparing food, when we're having a party or preparing food for our family or whatever, you're creating a whole atmosphere around that, you know, and just to be thankful for the time that is put in, like people are being thought of as the food is being prepared. And that really is no different when you think of people in the food service industry. A chef, like that's their creative outlet. Mm-hmm. They're creating for you. They want you to be pleased. They want you to be happy. They want you to enjoy what you're having. The people that come to your table and are serving you, they want you to feel welcome. And
people at these style restaurants, I mean, at the Tadish Grill, our server, he wasn't our main server. We talked to him a little bit though when we first walked in. He seated us. He's been there for like 28 years or something like that. I mean, these are career servers.
Yeah.
And they are passionate, just like the chefs are about what they do. This is their job. This is their industry. They are kind people. I had just a great experience.
Yeah. Yeah, it is a profession. Absolutely. For some of these people. You know what I mean? I don't think that enough respect and honor is given to the position that some of these people have taken. It really in many different service industries. But because we're talking about food, when you just think about the time and the amount of time that they stand on their feet and that they're rushing back and forth to make sure that you're getting to the table what you want in the time that you want to receive it. And, you know, they're constantly waiting on you and they're waiting on other people. And I don't know. I mean, we've experienced a lot of that just here at home in Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. A lot of these people, there are some, you know, I think that when I see somebody at a table across from us or somewhere else in the room and they're not being nice, I'm not want to go over and say something, you know, like, hey, give them a break. They're doing the best that they can and they're trying to make you happy.
Well, and their job is dependent upon other people. So the server is dependent upon what's happening in that kitchen.
Right.
And there are things that are out of their hands.
Right. And how about this? Because we've met some chefs who, if something is not just as they want it, they won't send it out. So right. You know what that means? They're doing it again. And they're doing that so that you get the best product on your plate possible.
Yeah.
So
I think if we look at food as the medium for conversation and doing life together, that, and maybe not going into places hangry.
Yeah, right.
Have an apple before you go.
For real.
Enjoy the experience and think about the people who are working so hard to put that beautiful food and that presentation on your table.
Absolutely.
And it doesn't have to be a super fancy restaurant. I mean,
no.
You can go to a chain restaurant and order something that, I don't know, that they're making. And it's the same thing. Those people who are there, they're working hard. They're working for you.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. I agree.
Yeah. So that wraps up
your trip. Yeah. How great was that? Now we need to plan our trip to Napa.
Yeah, we've been talking about a Gorman Burke girl.
We do.
Trip.
We talk about all these trips that we're going to take. And then just like great restaurants that we talk about that we're saying like, we got to get there. And then other things come about and bump that restaurant out of the way. I feel like that happens with trips.
Yeah,
like we've been planning a Napa trip and a trip to Italy for how long? And we've gone on numerous vacations elsewhere.
I know. And that money tree, it just refuses to grow.
I know. Like,
come on.
Yeah, right? Get with it. Somebody send us some fertilizer. Oh, well.
Someday.
Anyway, sounds like you had an amazing trip.
And we did.
Glad to have you back and glad to hear about all of your delicious food that you ate. I was living vicariously through you as I was home eating tuna fish and cucumbers. Anyway.
Okay, so if somebody has any questions for us, or do we have a question for them before we wrap?
I think we're just kind of talking because summertime is our time of planning different events, mm-hmm. and we just kind of keep throwing that out there. We've got a luau / island style pig roast coming up, and we've got a lemon theme party coming up.
And our ideas are starting to flow.
Yeah, they really are. We did talk a little bit about some party planning, and so we'll be sharing some more about that. We've got some great stuff coming up. We're going to go to the Frick, Fridays at the Frick. Food's involved in that as well. Yeah.
If someone wants to ask a question or wants to get a hold of us in any way, what do they do?
Yeah. So, as always, give us a follow on Instagram and we will receive and respond to your DMs quickly there. And we are at Gormandburgh, GourmandBurgh. Or you can email either one of us or both of us or neither of us. Okay, just kidding. My email is star, that's STAR with one R, at Gormandburgh or GourmandBurghGirls.com.
And I am Jen at Gormandburgh or GourmandBurghGirls.com. And if you would be so kind to rate and review us on iTunes, that's how other people find us. Thanks so much for listening today, and we will talk to you next week.
Bye-bye.